Hello, my name is Rob Ray from the Wealth Consulting Group here at UBS, and welcome to The 10 Spot, an approachable, unassuming podcast that explains various wealth management concepts in about 10 minutes. In episode number 2, we'll be discussing the very basics of bonds and their role in a portfolio. Now, the first question to answer is, what is a bond? A bond is essentially a loan that you make to a company or an institution in return for payments of interest. These bonds or loans usually have a predetermined length of time, also known as the maturity, and those interest payments are scheduled at regular intervals, usually about every 6 months. Now, a bond is that issuer's obligation to pay a defined amount of income, which is also referred to as the coupon, plus the principal when the bond matures. As a bond investor, these fixed income streams scheduled for specified dates generally make investments in bonds less risky than other types of investments, like stocks or commodities. Now, unlike stocks, where the investor becomes a shareholder of the company and participates in the distribution of profits or the appreciation of the shares, buying bonds makes the investor a creditor of the company and also gives them a senior or preferential claim on any assets should something ever happen to that company or institution. Now that you know what a bond is, why would you buy one? Well, one reason might be to get a reliable income stream with potentially lower risk than other types of investments. Another might be to add diversification to a portfolio, which historically bonds have lowered the volatility of. So now that you know what a bond is and why you might buy one, there are a few other things to consider when buying a bond. Primarily, the price and the yield or the interest rate that you would earn. Two of the most important variables that go into bond pricing and yields are the creditworthiness of the institution that's issuing the bond and prevailing interest rates. Generally, the higher the creditworthiness of the company or the institution, the lower the interest rate they have to pay, because the probability of them returning your principal in the future is pretty certain. Think of it just like a credit score. You get to borrow at a lower rate. The higher your credit score is, the lower your credit score, the more costly it is to borrow. Another important rule to remember is that generally, the price of a bond will go up if the creditworthiness of the institution gets upgraded or goes up, and the price will go down if the creditworthiness of the company or institution goes down. Another way bond prices might change is with prevailing interest rates. Bond prices move inversely with interest rates. So if interest rates go down, the price of a bond goes up. If interest rates go up, the price of a bond generally will go down. Now, to illustrate this, let's call her Mrs. McGillicuddy, has $1,000 to invest in a bond, and she has two options. She has Bond A that came out last week, matures in 5 years, and is paying 3% interest. Or Bond B, which just came out today, also matures in 5 years, but is paying 6% interest. For the same $1,000, which one do you think she'd buy? Right, Bond B, the one paying 6%. Bond A, the person trying to sell it would say, but why aren't you taking my bond? And she would naturally say, well, because it pays 3%. For the same $1,000, I can get one paying 6%. I don't want your 3%. The investor selling Bond A says, okay, tell you what, to make a deal, Let's say you buy my bond paying 3%, but it doesn't cost $1,000 anymore. I'll reduce the value down to $900, $800, $700. And at some point, there's going to be parity between investing $1,000 to earn 6% interest and then get the $1,000 back at the end of 5 years, and investing $700 today to earn less interest, 3%, but at the end of 5 years, you get the $1,000 back. That's how changes in interest rates work. Now that you understand a little bit about the impact of interest rates on a bond, let's talk about credit risk or the credit worthiness. Credit scores for companies and institutions don't come in a number, but they come in letters. These are issued by rating agencies that you might likely have heard of, S&P, Moody's, or Fitch. These are three bond rating agencies that assign a grade based on the prevailing credit worthiness of a company. These can be as high as the coveted AAA, all the way down to D or C or even triple D, which is they've missed payments. To help simplify things, rating agencies have broken the grading scale into two major categories. The first is what is considered investment grade. The second is considered high yield. These two groups broadly classify the creditworthiness of a company. So for example, an investment grade bond could be anything from the AAA bond all the way down to an A minus from S&P or Fitch, or A3 by Moody's. High yield bonds start at BBB+ and then go all the way down to C or D. These two broad definitions just help clarify where a company might fall. And again, should the creditworthiness of a company improve, that's going to raise the price of their bond. If a company gets downgraded, that's going to decrease the value of their bond. Two last things to mention in the basics of bonds are the impact of those variables on the maturity of the bond. Short-dated bonds, or bonds that mature in a month, 3, 6 months, a year, maybe 3 years, are going to be impacted less based on changes in interest rates and creditworthiness because the bond is going to mature relatively soon. There's less potential for something to happen. A medium-term bond might be from 3 years to 7 years, 8 years, and those are going to be impacted a little more based on changes in interest rates and creditworthiness. Lastly, long-dated bonds, which mature in close to 10 years or even longer, maybe 20 years, are really going to be impacted by changes in interest rates and creditworthiness. Now, some of the keys that go into building or managing a bond portfolio revolve around those variables that we discussed. First is managing interest rate risk. Based on the combination of different interest rates and maturities, how volatile could your portfolio be given a change of interest rates, either up or down? The second is default risk. What is the balance of investment grade bonds to high yield bonds? Do you have a basket of bonds that are from companies that are at risk and might go out of business just for the sake of trying to earn more interest? Or do you have higher quality bonds? Those companies are likely going to continue to pay their interest payments and there's very little default risk. And the last is liquidity considerations. You've taken some money, You've invested into bonds. You now have a diversified portfolio that addresses interest rate risk and default risk. But what about liquidity needs? Do you have any in the short term? How long do you have to wait for your principal to be repaid? Some higher risk, higher return bonds often come along with lower liquidity, meaning if you wanted to sell that bond, there might not be a buyer on the other side. Or if there was a buyer, they're going to offer you a really low price. In all, bonds have a very important role in a diversified portfolio. They come in all shapes and sizes, colors and flavors. So it's important to find the right mix for your portfolio. Hopefully you found the past 9 or 10 minutes insightful, and I've been able to answer a few questions you might have had. As always, I sincerely appreciate you including the 10th spot in your playlist and sharing what you've learned today with others. Please email me with any follow-up questions, suggestions, or topic requests for future episodes at robert.ray, R-A-Y, at ubs.com. Thank you for listening, and have an awesome day.